Effectively, these media and political actors have scrambled our minds. We've reached a point where we think that nonsense is knowledge. It's a dangerous position for a democracy. As the philosopher Hannah Arendt noted decades ago, demagoguery is abetted by people for whom the distinction between fact and fiction, true and false, no longer exists. The forces that have brought us to this point are powerful and will not bend easily. But I discuss in the final chapter what could be done to bring about change. It would require us to wrest power from the ideologues and mind twisters and entrust it to level-headed leaders and reliable sources. It would also require us as citizens to accept our role in the misinformation crisis. We can't have a thriving citizen democracy if citizens fail to accept the responsibilities of citizenship. Chapter 1. The Know-Nothings. I hate purity. I hate goodness. I don't want any virtue to exist anywhere. I want everyone to be corrupt to the bones. Well then, I ought to suit you, dear. I'm corrupt to the bones. George Orwell, 1984. It was a bright Sunday afternoon in the nation's capital when Edgar Madison Welch walked into Comet Ping Pong and, after telling customers to flee, searched the restaurant and opened fire. After his arrest, police recovered a pistol and assault rifle at the scene and another gun in his pickup truck. What prompted Welch to shoot up a pizzeria? He didn't have a grudge against a former boss or fellow employee. Welch had driven his truck from North Carolina to self-investigate a story he had seen online. The fake story claimed that coded emails on Hillary Clinton's private server revealed the pizza shop was a front for a child sex ring in which she and other top Democrats were involved. The victims were supposedly imprisoned in vaults hidden below the shop. Whatever fool Welch might have been, he was not alone in his thinking. A poll taken after Welch's arrest indicated that a third of American adults thought the sex ring allegation was definitely or probably true. A third of adults is roughly 80 million people. If they could somehow join hands, they would form six lines stretching all the way from New York to Los Angeles. Absurd ideas are nothing new. When fluoride was added to the nation's water supply six decades ago, some Americans said it was a communist plot to poison the nation's youth. Fear of communism soon led to other bizarre ideas, including the claim that President Eisenhower and Martin Luther King were Soviet agents. In a seminal 1964 Harper's Magazine article, the historian Richard Hofstadter described such thinking as the paranoid style. No other word, Hofstadter wrote, adequately evokes the sense of heated exaggeration, suspiciousness, and conspiratorial fantasy that I have in mind. The crazed anti-communists of the Cold War era have met their match in recent years. Nearly every major political development has sparked fanciful claims, even when the facts are right in front of our eyes. On September 11, 2001, Americans saw commercial airliners plow into the World Trade Center towers and the Pentagon. Within days, they saw footage of the terrorists going through security lines at Boston's Logan Airport and heard that they had taken flight training in Florida and Arizona. Nevertheless, conspiracy theorists claim it was an inside job orchestrated by the U.S. government. Rather than being piloted by hijackers, the airliners were said to be on autopilot. And rather than collapsing from intense heat, the World Trade Center towers were allegedly brought to Earth by preset explosive devices triggered by government agents. If 9/11 sparked some of the more far-fetched conspiracies, one doesn't have to search hard to find others. They number in the scores and have one thing in common: the belief that powerful actors secretly plotted a foul deed and are getting away with it.